radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Richardson buying time for his receivers to get down there. He's in trouble. And Richardson trying to stay alive. Laterals to Braden Smith. Scooped up by Autry. Ball is still loose. Will Anderson has it. He is down. And the game is over.
6-2. 6-0 in the AFC. Swept the Indianapolis Colts. That's only been done a couple of times. And yet...
Yep, and yet.
That's really all I got. And yet. This was a game that I watched at NRG Stadium. Joe, did you go to this one or did you stay
home?
No,
I stayed home for this one.
Yeah, to watch the game a little bit later, huh?
No, I watched this one live.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I meant this game that you saw later probably made you appreciate the win.
Definitely. Yeah. 100%.
Joe appreciates a good win today.
You know what, Texans, I love you. Thank you so much for not making my Sundays totally terrible.
Should have just jumped on the bandwagon, man. We gave you the
I'm on it. Texans hat.
You do have the Texans hat
Texans
on today.
Texans hat on right here.
Not a Tyreek Stevenson hat. Interesting.
No comment. No comment on that one.
I think you have a comment. You're just not going to do it right now, which is fine.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Texans. Let's talk about the Texans. Let's talk about a winning football team, okay? Let's talk about a team that's 6-2, Paul. Doesn't matter, Paul.
What's furious, what drives you crazy about this team, infuriating, is that this whole game, they felt like they were winning by 3 scores.
They did.
The whole game. And yet, as I went up to go get some coffee, because I was falling asleep a little bit. The game was pretty boring in the second half. It was dragging. Texans weren't completing drives. Colts were doing nothing. Anthony Richardson couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I go up to go get a coffee. This is right after the Texans had gotten down inside the Colts 10-yard line because this thing is about to be over. There's 3 minutes left. I'm not watching this live, and all of a sudden, I look up at the screen, and I see that C.J. Stroud and Joe Mixon had some sort of miscommunication on this pitch play. And all of a sudden, I figure, oh, the Colts recover it. I continue to go back to getting my coffee. The Colt guy has all of a sudden gotten up and is running with the ball down the left sideline, untouched for a touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, did the Rosencopter just happen again? Against the same team? In the exact same kind of setting? To give Indianapolis a lead in a game where, honestly, to that point, they had no business leading. And ultimately, it gets called back. But that play is, I think, very emblematic of how a great deal of this city feels about a team that is 6-2, undefeated in the AFC, undefeated in the AFC South, and yet still leaving a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, you're a bad ref away, a bad New York not knowing what they're doing as is shown every single Sunday across the NFL from that being a touchdown. Like, I didn't know if they were going to overturn it or not when they first went to replay.
Honestly, they shouldn't have, in my opinion. I don't think that they actually touched him. I felt like, yes, Joe Mixon made contact with him. He fell to the ground as he was getting that ball, but it wasn't like it was a catch, you know? Technically, he didn't have, I think, complete possession of the ball until he hit the ground.
I didn't think they were going to overturn it. Like, they were talking about on the broadcast, they were like, he might have grazed his shoulder. So the Texans got saved by a graze this weekend.
And I honestly don't think it was conclusive to overturn. I'm thankful they did. And it's just one of those things where, yet again, you felt like this game was in complete control the whole way. But if you look at the scoreboard once, you would have said, damn, what the hell? This is a game where the quarterback that you went up against was 2-for-15 in the first half. He threw a terrible interception that set you up for a touchdown. He did have one completion. It was a 69-yard touchdown. The Texans do seem to do that a lot against Anthony Richardson. But a game where that quarterback plays as poorly as he did, even checks out of the game because he is out of wind, because he is running for his life from that Texas defensive line. Honestly, Joe, I kind of empathize with him to a degree. He got sacked 5 times. He is the whole Colts offense. I know Jonathan Taylor actually had a pretty good game, but they should have been running the football with him more, and I kind of get why he would be gassed. You can't check out of the game, and you have to lie in that spot. He was pointing at his head. I thought he had a concussion, but that guy stunk, and you barely won this game.
Yeah, he was terrible. I mean, it was 10 for 32. You're lucky to win. This feels like a little bit of a repeat of week one, where if you're playing a competent quarterback, you would have lost this game. That's why I get why Texans fans are unsure of this team, because I don't know what to make of them. The only thing that, like, this season, every season's crazy in the NFL. We know it, but the Texans are 6-2, and as weird as it is and as down as it feels at the same time, we watched the Baltimore Ravens lose to the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston yesterday, so you've even, you know, done a better job of securing your spot in the playoffs right now as the 2 seed. It's unbelievable that they've won all these games and such heart attack fashion for 2 seasons now. Like, you would think at some point karma's going to walk up and kick them in the ass, and they're going to start losing these games.
Well, how is karma going to kick them in the ass, though?
Sports karma.
Well, it's not like they've done anything wrong. It's not they traded for a 27-time sexual misconductor.
And they bring in other guys with questionable character.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
The best player on the field.
Joe Mixon, the best player on the field.
Basically, awesome. Every time he's on the field, yeah.
There's a person I posted something that Joe Mixon said after the game. We'll toss to it in a moment. And this one person said, like, and then he punched a blonde woman in the face right afterwards in response to that. This person, unhinged, legitimately said that same exact line to every single post from a Houston Texans media member about Joe Mixon yesterday. It was just all day long.
That's
the man is committed.
That's not strange behavior.
Yeah, he's got an online crusade going on, but Joe Mixon said something after the game, and he is right. Here is Joe Mixon talking about the Texans at 6-2.
When our team on, like, we do with the best of them. You know what I'm saying? I don't, like, there ain't nobody out here that can literally just line up with us and feel like they could just impose their will. Like, we really living like that, honestly. Like, you know, but at the same time, we got to show that. We got to put it together and finish when given opportunity, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like I said, man, I'm not worried about, you know, oh, we didn't finish this, we didn't finish that. That's what practice come in for. We got to go correct that in practice. And I believe that we will. We'll do them little corrections. And when that time come, when we're in that opportunity again, we got to show why, you know what I'm saying, guys can't really line up. Because, I mean, we got weapons everywhere. We got weapons everywhere. We got the team that we need. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to do whatever we can to finish. And that's what this game is all about. You know, D'Amico talk about it all the time, straining. And, you know, fortunately, like I said, all 4 quarters we was able to do that and come up with the dub. And to be real, that's all that mattered. Nothing else mattered but the dub.
He is right that nothing else matters but the dub. But he's also saying we got to learn to finish and that practice will take care of that. 8 weeks into the season, that hasn't been the case.
No, it hasn't, and I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm over the
You're
third.
Done?
I'm done with it. You keep preaching to the choir that we're going to get better, we're going to fix it, communication, blah, 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 blah. No, they won't. They will not. This is who the Houston Texans are, and I think we all just have to come to grips with that.
I don't want to co-sign that, though.
But it's right.
This is loser bears mentality.
No, but I'm not. They keep winning. I'm right, but they keep winning. They keep finding a way to win these incredible football games.
I'm right, but they keep winning.
They do. They
classic sports
gonna,
talk show
They
host.
Keep saying they're going to, you know, fix their problems, and they don't fix them.
I would respect them more if they're just like, we got nothing to work on. 6-2. You are what your record says you are. Like, at some point, one of these teams has to actually beat us.
This is D'Amico Ryans after the game, too. Right away, asked about some of the protection issues and things that the Texans were not able to clean up in this game. This is what D'Amico says right away.
First and foremost, just really proud of our team and the way they battled today. Just, man, we talked about how hard this was going to be. Like, tough opponent, like division opponent, know each other well. They battled, really good team. So I'm just proud of all of our guys for finding a way to get the win. That's the most important thing.
He is right. Everything that you heard from Joe Mixon and D'Amico Ryans is correct. And I just am going to repeat this as much as I can. They are 6-2. They are 6-0 in conference. They are 3-0 in the division. They have swept the only challenger to them in the AFC South. The Ravens just had a bad loss today to the Cleveland Browns. That's one of the teams that you're trying to catch up to. You've beaten the Buffalo Bills, who had yet another blowout victory. They are a different team with Amari Cooper. You are towards the top, and you're doing everything you're supposed to when it comes to the scoreboard. And yet the scoreboard is the thing that is driving all of us the most insane, because the scoreboard should have a bigger difference between them and the team that they're playing. It is a fascinating place to be in. I see some of the comments, and people are right. I don't want to sound like I am bitching and moaning about this. As somebody who, like, my Super Bowl as a Patriots fan was beating the Jets yesterday. God, things are really bad there. For Joe, things are moving in the right direction for your Bears.
Yeah.
But yesterday sucked, right? You got to appreciate games like
100%,
this.
100%. You have to. The Texans deserve a lot of credit for being a 6-2 football team in the NFL.
We can all say but without actually saying it aloud. We could say but under our breath. We could say but under the table, however you want to do it. But the but is in the room. It is a juicy but.
Everyone's looking at it.
Everyone's looking at it. I can't
ignore it.
I can't stop looking at that but. And it's not even the kind of but that you want to look at, you know? And listen, I'm an ass man. I like butts. But I'm talking about one of those things that's been just stuffed with all sorts of filling. You know, we're talking BBL, where I do not know how this person's ass is sticking out a full foot behind them. And I don't know how I could rest an effing champagne glass on it. But honestly, I could. I can't stop looking at it. I don't want it. It's too much. It's too much. Call me gay. It's too much. I don't want it. But it's there. And we all know it's there. And I can't appreciate it. I see it, and I'm fascinated by it and annoyed by it.
Fascinated.
That's, yes.
I'm fascinated by this team.
They are. They're one of the more – they're a bizarre football team. To have this record and to constantly find a way to win football games when all you do is shoot yourself in the foot week after week, it's incredible. I hope Joe Mixon's right. I hope they actually put it together at some point and just, like, beat the crap out of somebody in 2 weeks. Or I don't know, they might have to score 50 points to beat the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football in 2 weeks. But I want to see them put it together. I can't wait to see Nico Collins back on the field with Joe Mixon at the same time and healthy, and how good this offense is going to look. But right now, it's just like, how do they keep doing this? How do they keep surviving in this way?
They deserve credit for it. Tabico's right. They should be proud of it. They keep on surviving.
They are, like, Joe Mixon is right. The most important thing is that they won. Like, you would rather them play like this and be 6-2 than us being like, man, this team is awesome, and they're 3-5 or 4-4. Like
this is way better.
This is better than that. But it's also not super enjoyable. This is where, Paul, I always think about the, what was it, 2018, where they won 8 straight games,
yes,
9 straight games?
9. It was 9.
And everyone was like, I feel like this is basically a redo, or like a full season redux of that, where they're 6-2, they're alone, or I guess they're tied, but they have the tiebreaker over who they're tied with for second in the AFC. Like you said, I'm sure if we're doing Baltimore Ravens radio, we would also be like enraged by the team, but like, this is who they are, where they just win games in the least convincing way possible.
I'm gonna read something that someone that was in the organization frustratedly texted me once way back in the day. I think it is such BS that Houston is so negative. I think people should enjoy this team. That is what I think. That was during the 9-game winning streak. I remember getting that from a person who works with the organization. And I was like, to not, first off, expect to get that text.
Out of the blue.
And I also agreed with them, but this is where it is. There's just this big butt in the room, and we can't stop looking at it because, honestly, we're kind of wondering, is there any of the gel leaking from the filler?
It's not sustainable.
Can it fart? We don't know. It's just there.
And they're no different than, honestly, than the Kansas City Chiefs right now. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Hear me out.
The Kansas City Chiefs keep winning a lot of football games in a really ugly fashion, and it makes no logical sense. How are they the last undefeated team in the NFL? The difference is they get the benefit of the doubt because they've won 2 Super Bowls in a row, and the Texans are the Texans. That's the only difference.
Right? Other than the 2 Super Bowls and the 20-something,
like, the
years
way they're
of
playing
no
this
history,
season,
yes.
The way they're playing this season, the two top teams agree. In the AFC are both playing pretty poor football, but collectively have 13 wins between the two of them, and the Texans are the team that we have all these questions about because it's just bizarre.
They're the Jesse Pinkman All-Stars, the two teams. How do they keep getting away with this? Like, just the Chiefs and the Texans. Like, I don't know what the updated numbers are, but you look at Pat Mahomes' numbers and you're like, oh, that's not that great. Like, that's actually kind of bad quarterback numbers. And you still ask anyone who's the best quarterback in the league, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, you still do it. But it's funny because you look at his numbers and...
And they're worse than Bo Nix's.
Yikes.
But it's a but with Mahomes that...
You like to look at.
It's better done. It's a better quality.
It is a... Yeah. It's not botched.
The Texans' butt is this... We don't think this person went to the top shelf doctor, okay? Yeah. This person might have found someone on Craigslist, and they might be in danger. You know, those surgeries can result in some serious problems, right? So that's where we're at. I hope you guys appreciated that analogy. It just came to me sometimes.
It was good.
Sometimes yeah. I just...
Who knows where you pulled that from? How's your weekend, Paul?
Why do you ask?
A little raspy.
We went 15 minutes into I couldn't stop looking at someone's butt.
You know what? Honestly, I thought I would see a little more butts for Halloween weekend. But Halloween update, Friday went as Billy Butcher to a couple of different places, had a good time. Saturday, same thing. Saturday, this is how my night ended, and this is not me trying to flex. This is where I knew I need to go to bed. Saturday night, I was out, and it was 5:30, and the person whose house I was at, I have no idea who this person is. No idea.
AM or PM?
AM.
Okay.
What do you think?
Just clarifying.
Yeah.
The sun would be up.
This person just goes to his closet and pulls out 5 to 6 tins of caviar, and he just leaves them on the counter. And I'm like, wait, is this for us? And the whole time I'm looking at it, because caviar is great if you've never had it. But I'm also thinking to myself, oh my God, I do not belong here. I don't think I can have any of this, but I want just a little taste because it's 5:30 and I've had a few to drink. So I spent, I want to say a good 15 to 20 minutes like staring at it, asking, can I have this?
So this caviar.
Is this a rich person trap? Is this rich person trying to trick me?
Yeah. They're going
to
Venmo me, request me after
this. Exactly.
Or that's how they tell which poor person they're going to hunt and eat. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a compound that kind of was like that, this place. Oh. No, I'm not kidding. It was weird. It was a weird spot. And after looking at it for a while, I decided to myself, yes, this is a trap. I'm Ubering home. That's what happened. And
you didn't have any?
No.
Oh, Paul.
It was 5:30.
No, it was 5:30.
He should have gone home. An hour before
I mean,
that.
Yeah, I had to make it to NRG Stadium in time and look all pretty, you know, wearing my suits.
Oh, my God.
Get a big bite and then
wait,
go.
So you probably got home from your Uber 6 hours before kickoff?
Yeah, yeah. Woke up at 10:15. Had nothing for breakfast. Just got up, showered, went into work,
press conference,
and tried to not talk to anybody when I was there because I knew that my voice would probably be a tell, and I also did not feel good. I did not feel good.
Mm. Do people in the press box like lean over to talk to you, or do they know by
now?
No,
luckily, see, there's no one sits directly next to me. This is the second time where there's been a game where the night before I was having a little bit too much fun.
Yeah,
because last year. Joe, I don't know if you knew this, but when they moved that Texans game that was at 3:00 against the Broncos to noon, I was in Fredericksburg for a bachelor party. And
I remember that.
So I had to leave at like 7 in the morning, and we had been up until 4:15 in the morning. So I got up at 7, and Fredericksburg is a pain in the ass to get to and from, and your boy had to drive a good 4.5 hours. Somehow I get in, sit down. At 11:58, right before the game kicks off. I don't know how I am so good at arriving to things just before the time I need to. Today was the latest I've ever arrived to the studio because I was waiting for some gel that I've ordered in the mail. I know this is just so self-gratifying, all this stuff. And I apologize for this weird, like, cool story, bro, kind of story. But, yeah, I made it, and we are alive. But I am also noticing, wow, Paul, your voice, it sounded better. Yeah, it sounded better.
It could be worse. I've heard way worse before.
Yeah.
I've heard people literally have no voice and attempt to do radio. That's always a disaster.
Who's the last person that tried that?
Hmm?
Who's the last person that tried that around you?
Matt Thomas.
Ooh, okay.
working two jobs, lost his voice, tried to do the radio, and I was like, dude, you gotta.
That's tough.
I was like, you're gonna ruin your voice.
You should have tapped the helmet.
Yeah.
But, and guess what?
Soft boy.
Texans, they didn't lose their voice on Sunday. They didn't lose their voice, okay? They powered through. We don't know how they did it, and we're kind of not impressed. Just like a 40-year-old man looks a lot more 40 with his beard all grown out. Just like this person probably should know better and probably should be taking care of himself a little bit better. That's who they are. Like, they stay winning, and I don't know if I stay winning, but they stay winning, and I stay here, alive somehow, some way.
Hey, you're alive. That's winning. Just like they won a football game.
It's a great, you know, as Travis Tritt once said, it's a great day to be alive. I don't remember the rest of the words, but he's got rice cooking in the microwave.
Those are all the words I know for that song, too.
That's all we got.
If you want to weigh in on this game, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch. I will read a couple of Twitch comments. They're anticlimactic this year compared to last. Injuries and all that, blah, 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 but they are kind of boring so far. Sunday's game was rather boring until the very end, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Texans continuously just stop whenever they get in the red zone in the second half of games. Had they scored a little bit more? Had they scored a couple of touchdowns there? We're looking at this game completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, they've only scored over 25 points twice this season, so I can definitely get that argument where they are a boring football team. Even the Packers game wasn't highly entertaining. The Bills game wasn't highly entertaining for most parts. You have these, just because the offense struggles so much in the second half, you come out of halftime and you just have these dead spots of football. So I definitely get that, where last year it felt like they were more, you know, leading the charge down the field to win games. Versus this year, it feels like they're hanging on by a thread to win these football games. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's different, and it's not as exciting.
Sure. World of Warcraft Spartacus comments on YouTube, what a handle. Another game where it could be a blowout, but it's made close because of poor execution and an offside on a punt. You know what? You are right. That one, to give the Colts new life, they actually go for it. And such a strange game. Because Anthony Richardson really was bad, and he did check out of the game, even though I'm going to cut him a little slack on it. Everyone's shaking their head. He was running for his life all game.
I can't.
He was running for his life all game.
I'm glad they did, because the Texans probably would have lost if he was actually hurt. So, when Joe Flacco was coming in, I was like, well, that's
funniest
my,
possible
that's my
thing could have been
here.
Joe Flacco throw a touchdown pass in the one play he plays.
Someone texted in, the Texans have an ass full of Flex Seal.
Yeah.
Or whatever they put in the Subway rolls.
Oh,
that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like they put something in there.
Oh, you know, your occasional yoga mat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah,
a little yoga mat for texture.
Forgot about
right?
that.
Yeah, it makes it a little spongier. I don't know. Anyway, hey, the Texans are 6-2. You want to weigh in on it? 713-780-3776 to call it to text, and we're on Twitch as well at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. It was a win, but fill in the rest of the sentence if you so choose. We might have the return of a fun character from past show days make an appearance at some point today. And I didn't think we'd be saying it about this Texas football entity, but are they back? All of that on the table. It's Gallant and George. Stay put.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
There he goes again. Nixon at the 5, lowers his shoulder, and he's in for the touchdown. What a run by Nixon.
He's been good. Another big game for Joe Mixon. He basically is the Texans' whole offense at times, whether as a running back. He had 100-plus yards on the ground. He had 4 catches for, I think, 32 yards as well. And his Houston Texans are indeed 6-2. But, ..
I did like how they like actively were trying to get him involved in the passing game a little bit. Without Nico Collins, that felt like a clear, conscious decision by Bobby Slowick this week to try to do some swing passes and get Mixon open in space.
Can they run screen passes to him?
Can they just not run them anymore?
Instead of to the receivers? Right. Like Xavier Hutchinson is on the outside on a 3rd-and-2, blocking for a wide receiver screen to John Mechie. I mean, look, I get it. The Stephon Diggs injury is a problem, and it's next man up. But they call plays very often that seem like they're designed for other players.
They did this last year, where Robert Woods would be the guy catching the screen pass instead of blocking. He's the guy who should be blocking.
But on the bright side, again, to steer back to the positive.
Joe Mixon, awesome.
Throw it to Mixon a little bit more. Throwing to Devin Singletary won the Texans a game against the Titans. That game they had no business winning. All right, you're down in the troops. Give Mixon the ball on the outside of the field, because no one wants to tackle him in the secondary of these teams. You want to jump in at 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. The Texans did win 23-20 yesterday. They are 6-2. They are 6-0 in conference. They are 3-0 in the division, and they swept the Colts, which I think has only happened 3 times ever for this team. We got Lamont calling in. Lamont, what's up, dude?
What's up, Paul and George? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I realize that the offensive line pretty much sucks right now, but I'm going to take you guys back into some history because I'm thinking the way these teams, these defenses are playing CJ Stroud right now, it may be his own self-doing, man. And what I mean by that is when everybody thought it was cool all this summer when he was going on this tour, especially the coach, when he was going on all of these podcasts and crapping on everybody, calling them all, well, he wasn't calling them all kind of names, it's pretty much, smack talking. And I don't have a problem with smack talk, but I'm wondering if these defenses are a little bit more amped up by him, because it wasn't just one occasion. It was several. At the Super Bowl, at different podcasts.
I think
he was on Excuse me?
He's definitely getting Lamont chesty, for sure. And I could totally see how maybe defenses are a little more amped up to play him. But I don't know if it's as much about him chirping as much as it, hey, he's really good, and you want to stop this guy, and you want to hit a quarterback like that, you know, no matter who he is. I'm sure everybody who goes up against Mahomes feels the same way. Probably Lamar Jackson,
exactly,
too.
But what I'm getting at, like I said, I don't got a problem with smack talk, between athletes or anything. But you may want to realize that your offensive line is wet toilet paper, and they can't do anything. So people are going to be a little bit more amped up out here. In other words, all that I'm saying is, I wouldn't be surprised if these defenses have heard this dude all off season long talking about dog this and dog that, and they couldn't handle me. Especially with the coach, because that got kind of personal. That's all I have, fellas.
All right, appreciate it, Lamont. He did say the word dog a lot. That's one of his favorites.
Yep,
the guy's a dog,
or I'm a dog. Mm-hmm. He says he is a dog. Very right. often.
That's true.
Self-proclaimed dog.
Any dogs in the house? Look, I'm sure that there is some motivation from certain teams. I would say the Colts in particular, because there was a lot of chirping going back and forth between he and some of the Colts linebackers, as Azaire Franklin and
EJ Speed.
Right. So I'm sure the Colts had a little extra motivation here. The offensive line in front of him, though, to what he was saying Lamont was saying there, there's definitely got to be some plays where he can get the ball out more quickly. But I'm starting to wonder if the offense is drawing up plays to kind of acknowledge the elephant in the room, that the interior of the offensive line isn't good, because Stroud is regularly having to bail out of plays where I don't know that he's actually able to go into his proper progressions, because if there's pressure coming straight up the middle at you, what can you really do, you know? Your passing lane might be blocked by the pass rusher bearing down on you. And on top of that, if you don't have as much time, maybe the receiver's not getting off of the defensive back who's up against him, or maybe he's not in the right spot of the zone where it's going to be open. Like, there's a lot of different factors that might add into it. We cannot say that CJ Stroud is immune from blame here. We cannot. But I do feel like this is less like with Deshaun Watson, where Watson just holds on to the football forever.
100%. It's not that. I still, like, maybe it is this, it's the 49er offensive coordinator way where the center calls out the protections, but whether they get their ass kicked or there's just guys just free rush, I mean, just CJ is getting the ball and no one's blocking a pass rusher, and it, maybe it's supposed to be a running back chip and he's having to bail out of the pocket and just run for his life. He's getting hit so much right now. I mean,
and a lot of it is Kenyon Green. And look, Green got benched and then Jared Patterson got hurt. And I'm probably in the minority on this. I actually feel bad for Kenyon Green because I don't think it's for lack of effort. I think that Green knows he is bad and he is getting in his own head. And that is actually the worst thing. And what's tricky here, Joe, is now if Jared Patterson's out for a certain amount of time and he got injured on that Joe Mixon touchdown run, who's the next guy up? What do you do here?
I guess it's Kenyon Green. I mean, I was stunned they went back to him. Was Kendrick Green not active?
It did feel like he wasn't.
Is he that bad? He must be to see your offense struggling. Patterson comes in at left guard. You score a touchdown, right? And then he gets hurt, and you have to go back to Kenyon Green. I thought they were going to go to somewhere else when Patterson went down.
There's a lot of bad football teams. Nick Cassero's got to pick up the phone and start calling to see what he can get on the interior offensive line. Because you've already gone somewhat all in this year, you know, trading for Stephon Diggs. Now, we'll see what happens with Diggs. Nothing today on his status. Nothing after the game, really, either. I know he's getting an MRI today, but it did not look good. It was a non-contact injury. And he went straight into the locker room. He didn't even go to the medical tent. So, I am assuming that the worst has happened. But you're not calling for another wide receiver. You're looking at the offensive line depth that you have right now, and you should add something. Let's go back to the phones. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. We've got Chris calling in. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Can, along with Slowik and his play calling, especially on the screen passes, can we get Tank Dell not blocking a run situations again? I mean, what I do love about Joe Mixon, he kind of showed the leadership where he kind of called out Tank, where he had to, like, kind of truck Tank, like, get out the way, dude,
yeah,
pay attention. And then a few plays later, it did get better. But can we get somebody bigger, right, over there to do the passing? I mean, to do the blocking
but
on
this is the tricky thing, though.
So he doesn't get hurt.
This is the tricky thing, though, Chris. I mean, if you take Dell off the field and appreciate the phone call, I mean, you're losing a playmaker. And I do appreciate that Dell is tough enough to block. There's another play where he's blocking downfield. But, yeah, I also don't want Joe Mixon running him over.
Yeah, that was tough.
I want him away from the skirmish, you know?
The scrum, yeah.
Yeah, to remember an old Houston Texans friend, Brandon Cooks. I want Tank Dell to be more like an archer, right? And the archers, what do? They stay away from all the crap, right? And I'm sure back in medieval times that there were a lot of soldiers who were pissed off about these camping archers.
Dishonorable.
You're right, just chucking it up in the air. Whatever. Stay away from the fray, Tank.
The only problem with Tank Dell now is that without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, he kind of has to be on the field.
Yeah, at exactly. All times. Yeah,
yeah. You can't really have the, like, kid gloves on.
When you had three of them, it was easy to take Tank Dell off the field and to not have him run blocks.
No, he's got to be out there every down, basically.
Yeah,
now.
I mean,
because you are without, on Thursday, you're going to be without Diggs and Collins. He's your number one receiver, and you got to figure out ways to get him the ball. Will they? I don't know. They haven't done it yet this year, and you would think there would have been less attention on him. Will's got a thought on C.J. Stroud and what he said after the game. Here is Will, 713-780-3776. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, man? Love the show. Hey, I listened to this morning, and I listened to that one caller right before the ones who just called in and talking about C.J. Stroud and podcast. Look, that has nothing to do with it, man. C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback that the Texans have had up until now. If you take any of the other top 10 quarterbacks and put them in C.J. Stroud's position, they probably would not be 6-2. Offensive line is definitely the problem. Okay, they're not even in the top 10, not even the top 20 offensive lines in the league. All right, C.J. Stroud is constantly under pressure. That does not help a quarterback, and yet he's still good. All right, so despite the bad play calling on the offensive coordinator, and despite not even being in the top 10 offensive line, this guy has a 6-2 record. So guys that are knocking C.J. Stroud, you put any other quarterback in there, would easily be 2-6, or we'd be defeated 0-6.
Own it, yeah.
Call.
Appreciate the phone call, Will. I do agree. I have a hard time putting anything on Stroud and the impressive stuff that he does. The touchdown pass that he had to Tank Dell. I do not know how he was able to get it over that defender the way that he did, but the touch that he puts on, the throws that he makes, if you don't see it in person, you don't get a true ability to appreciate it. And he is definitely in some plays probably the problem, but he is by far nowhere close to the Texans' biggest problem. And I don't think that people are looking at Stroud based off of what he said this offseason, wanting to shut him up. You know, I think that Stroud is generally liked among NFL players. This is not, I don't know, Tyreek Stevenson or some other jackass player.
Yeah, I think the only like real beef was EJ Speed, who nearly picked off CJ, and then Zaire Franklin or Alexander, whatever his name is.
That seems like a friendly beef, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems playful. I don't think that anyone hates CJ Stroud, except for maybe Caleb Williams after he gave him advice after the game.
Yeah, well, he could probably use it. look, CJ got pressured on, Next Gen Stats had this, in the first half, he was pressured on 71.4% of his dropbacks. That is not
a lot.
That's not sustainable football.
I wasn't sure. I mean, the NFL, a lot of pressure.
That's not good.
The other 29% is all the screen passes, I'm guessing.
Oh, you know what? Jeez, you're probably right.
Like, you can't blame it on CJ. Is CJ Stroud probably going to, at the end of the season, be in the top five quarterback conversation if this continues? Probably not. He's going to kind of fall down the list a little bit because the team has not played well, and he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that guys like Justin Herbert and Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen do, rightfully so. It's only his second year, but it's not CJ's fault that it's this clunky at times.
Yeah, I'm with you. A couple of comments. Would you rather be winning these games like this and be 6-2 or losing them and being 2-6? Well, obviously, but I mean, we're talking about what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I want them to lose.
Yeah, I said look awesome and be 4-4, which is more like, well, you know. But even then, as Joe Mixon, as D'Amico Ryans would say, winning is the most important thing.
It is. Winning is truly the most important thing, and I think you want to add a little context to it. Hey, guess what? Chiefs did not win in impressive fashion against a dead Raiders team, and on top of that, the Ravens just lost to Jameis Winston. So,
well, you know.
Meanwhile, the Bills, who you beat a couple of weeks ago, have been maybe the most impressive team in the AFC the last 2 weeks. So, look, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're getting better. It just feels like they're not getting better as quickly as we'd like them to.
And the most important thing, or most important thing is winning. Thank you, Joe Mixon. The second most important thing is that they're really banking these wins before the schedule gets really hard. And
correct.
For whatever reason, I saw like a few different of the aggregation accounts just start tweeting out the Texans schedule in late December, where they're like, the Texans are going to have to play 3 games in 10 days. And it was like the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens games. I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know.
That's going to, and it's also not going to be for another almost 2 months. But for whatever reason, they're tweeting that. But it did get me thinking that, well, you have the Lions game and you have those 2 games at the back end, I think, of the 3 games in 10-day stretch. That is where you're really happy that you're an unimpressive 6-2 because you're going to have a little bit of cushion. I mean, you see, they already swept the Colts. They're already 2 games ahead of them in the division, and with the tiebreaker. So you feel good about that. It's just you know that they're going to have to get better, but
exactly.
At least they're learning while winning.
We hope they're learning.
We hope.
We're not seeing the results of the learning.
At least they're winning, and we'll see if they learn.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. He is Joe George. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George. I never thought that we would be saying this entity is back on a football level. They are very back. You better give them their flowers. I am not talking about your Houston Texans, but if you want to weigh in on them, you still can. Stick around. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Texans are 6-2 after a 23-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. They swept the Colts, 3-0 in the AFC South. Doesn't matter, Brian. And on top of that, 6-0 in conference. But, and you get to fill in that but the rest of the show. We need to talk about something that happened on Saturday. I don't think any of us saw this coming. I'm going to do a little drum roll right now. Texas A&M is back. Well, that would work too. Texas A&M is back. They're back.
Texas A&M's back, folks.
They're back. They are back. That was a hell of a win on Saturday.
They're way back. What a win. I mean, to score 31 points in the second half, unanswered until, I guess LSU scored 6 in the fourth quarter. My gosh, they beat the crap out of them on Saturday.
I was watching that game, and early on, I politely asked a couple of my Aggie fan friends, you going to pull Wigman? In the same way that I politely asked my Texas friends, who have since disowned me. Just kidding. I talked with one of them. He's still not thrilled about it, but whatever.
We had a great reunion this weekend.
For the horns down. I politely asked, just like I'd ask, hey, maybe put an arch, huh? I did the same thing here. Everyone said, yes, now, right now. No one liked Wigman. I do not know why they ever went away from Marcel Reed, because they can do so much more of what I think Colin Klein wants to do with this guy in there. And my God. So he only had 2 passes.
Which is crazy.
But real football. He ran all over them, 9 carries for 62 yards and 3 touchdowns. And once he started running, the entire Aggie running game really got going. And I cannot wait for Texas A&M now. I feel like we actually are in for possible riots in the streets, Civil War battles. I might not even go home for Thanksgiving because I want to see my friends tear each other's throats out. I'm thinking about it, just to sit back and watch. Now that I have been kicked out of the Texas tribe, now that I've been kicked out, I kind of want to just sit back and throw gasoline on the fire in the same way that I often throw gasoline at Thanksgiving on the argumentative flames between my very conservative father and my very liberal sister.
I really hope neither one of these teams loses before the end of the game. I need 2 top 6 teams head-to-head November 30th, please. The tickets are going for $2,000 right now to get in the stadium. I'm sure that's just going up.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I cannot imagine how much tickets are to go to that game.
You should do a Friendsgiving, Paul.
A Friendsgiving?
Yeah. And half the table is A&M fans, half the table is Texas fans. And it's...
They will not watch it around each other.
Yeah, I bet.
They have all...
Well, you don't tell them that you invited the other one.
I've only been able to unite these people. You know, we think we have problems in the Middle East. I guess. But the problems that we have in my group of friends between the Texas and the Texas and A&M fans, it's something else. I have been able to unify them once. I said, both of you guys are pussies for not playing. And they've all started shouting at me and yelling at me. And then I just, and then I was like, all right, see you guys. Have a good rest of your party.
Being friends.
Yeah, yeah, I said that at the petroleum club. I'm in a suit, top floor. We're all looking fancy and classy. And I said, you guys are kind of pussies not playing each other. And they all just started shrieking at me. And I'm like, all right, well, on that note, have a great night, guys.
Yeah, I think I might have to get a credential and go to this game.
Joe, I want to see you on the Texas A&M Police Twitter account.
I don't.
I kind of do. I want Media Man take it away after...
drinking too much.
What a return to sober wife.
The Texas A&M Police Twitter account just tweets out highlights of what's going on at Kyle Field in the middle of a game. I'm just going to read some of the things that we saw on... Saturday night. Now there's a lot of narking going on. Some minor in possession, saw officer tried to hide alcohol, citations, blah, blah, blah. But disturbance, section 121. Oh, the classy seats. Subject in wrong seat tried to fight subject who had ticket for seat. Ejected. Section 234, subject throwing beer on fans. Ejected. Section 408, responded to unruly and intoxicated subject. Attempted to locate a sober friend, but was unsuccessful. Arrested for public intoxication. Section 336. Subject arrested for possession of cocaine.
Damn.
336?
Wow. Yeah.
Definitely a fraternity guy.
Whoa.
Whoa. How dare you do that?
That's against the Aggie code, I think.
Definitely.
I think. I actually don't know.
I wouldn't either. Intoxicated subject, section 132, released to sober friend. So there you go. It's a fantastic account. I can't wait for it. And look, the Aggies got chesty with LSU before this game. Did you guys see multiple shutout matches?
Fight.
I don't know who started them. I think you could make a strong argument that Texas A&M might have started it, but LSU had definitely flexing a little bit. They were walking on the wrong side of the field. I like that. Like in the past, before a game like this, this would be all the telltale signs in a non-Johnny Manziel Texas A&M Aggies team. They're going to blow this one. They're going to biff this one on Saturday night. And instead, after getting in that shoving match, they shoved LSU into a locker. They kicked their ass. I can't overstate that enough. It is really awesome to see what they did. I was impressed. I was doing golf claps. I was doing golf claps at the bar.
I had so much. Like, seeing today, there's this video that they put out of all the different angles from the tunnel to, like, up top in the stadium of the A&M entrance. I had such FOMO watching it, just like the how electric Kyle Field looked this weekend. And Mike Elko deserves so much credit for making the quarterback change before to go back to Connor Wigman when he felt like it was the right move, and then to make that change away from Connor Wigman in this game. Not a lot of coaches in today's college football would really be wanting to do that because they know that Connor is in the transfer portal today. Like, they know he's done at A&M. He's not going to play there anymore. He might not even dress up to be the backup quarterback.
Yeah, you could see it on his face when they were showing him on the sideline.
Yeah, he's gone.
He might be there for the rest of the season. I don't know about
as a hostage.
Yeah, I don't know
like
about
Jameis Winston before he got back on the field yesterday.
I don't know about next year, but yeah, no. I mean, this Mike Elko is like just the like, hey, when you have a team that's like pumped to the gills with talent and they're being coached by an absolute clown show, when you get like a serious good good college football coach, it's like, oh, actually you turn into a top 10 team in the nation.
Yeah,
when you're just a competent coach.
Shout out to Texas A&M, push Notre Dame up to number 8 in the college football polls. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, and a dominant win over
you had that
the U.S. A&M Naval Academy.
A&M should be ranked higher than Notre Dame.
Whoa.
Damn.
They beat LSU.
Does head-to-head mean nothing?
Head-to-head means nothing to me now. A&M beat LSU, and they beat the crap out of them.
They smoked them.
Oh, yeah, asterisk. Notre Dame played Connor Wegman, A&M. They didn't
That's
play
true.
Marcel Reed.
That's a good point.
A&M. That's true.
That's a good point.
Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm actually going to give you real reasons to be positive and optimistic about the Houston Texans going forward. This is not going to be done snarkily. This is not going to be done with a gun held to my head because they are 6-2. They are 3-0 in the AFC South. They're 6-0 in the conference. They swept the Colts. But there's actually one thing you really should be pumped out about with this Texans team. I'll tell you what it is next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.